بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الارض مراغما كثيرا وسعه ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا الى الله ورسوله ثم يدرك الموت فقد وقع اجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver. Last week we had spoken about the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah ta'ala had commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba to make the hijrah and to leave Makkah Mukarramah because they were being persecuted, tormented, tortured, ridiculed, mocked, hurt, injured in Makkah Mukarramah. So Allah commanded it now that they may proceed to Madinah Munawwara, and we gave the various incidents of some of the Sahaba, how they left Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala and his incident, and then we spoke about Umar radiallahu ta'ala and his brother Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, Abdullah bin Jahash, Suhaib bin Rumi, Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala, and so many others that we discussed a bit in detail, and how they left and sacrificed their beloved hometown and all the belongings, the home, the possessions, everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the lesson we learned that so many things, no matter how coveted they may be, and how close and how we may be linked and show so much of love to certain things in this world, but there has to be a time when we have to let go and leave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we mentioned that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is kept in the place, in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he has to then discharge and give off those amanat, the wada'i', those people who had left their trust in the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he's leaving for Madinah Munawwara, but they have to give, he had to give them back the due, what was belonging to them. And he deputed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala there. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the mushrikeen had made a mashwara in Darul Nadwa, and they were plotting and deciding what to do to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when shaitan came in the guise of an old man, and he gave this opinion which they all accepted, that they'll have the youngsters from each tribe and they will sit around the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he emerges in the morning, they all will kill him together. So the blame is not put on a particular tribe, but all of them will be involved, and then obviously there will be no finger will be pointed towards them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the meantime goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That was his bosom friend. Very, very close to Rasulullah sallam. Extremely close. The closest to Rasulullah sallam from all the Sahaba was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he had been waiting for a long time. In fact, he had been asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me go and make the hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. And Rasulullah tells him each time, no, wait, wait, wait. And now all the Sahaba are moving and all making the hijrah. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is waiting impatiently. And suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes in midday. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was young at the time, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit us morning and evening. But never did he come when it was so, when the heat of the sun was so intense. And exactly midday he came and he visited our home. When my father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming at this particular time, immediately he says that لِأَمْرٍ حَدَثٍ, something has happened, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come now to us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a lengthy incident that mentioned in books of hadith and in seerah, in history. We will just give you the gist of what happened there, is that Rasulullah tells him that Allah has commanded me now to make the hijrah and leave Makkah and go to Madinah Munawwara. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately, As-suhba ya Rasulullah, can I accompany you? And Rasul agrees, yes, Allah has commanded me that we will make this hijrah and you will be my companion. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I did not see any person crying out of joy and happiness than on that occasion when I saw my father crying out of extreme joy and happiness. See the love Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah. Bosom friend.
And he was waiting for this opportunity. Now the great event of Hijrah he's going to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had already purchased 2 camels and prepared them ready. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 2 camels have been prepared from my side. You just have to jump on this camel and we continue. Rasulullah says, No, I will pay for it. I will pay for my camel. And the books of in the kitab, he mentioned, Asarra Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, persisted. He said, I will have to pay. I demand that I pay my share for what my camel costs. And 800 dirhams he paid solely because he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanted the full ajr and sawab for making this great ibadah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala sells the camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu tells him a certain time he will leave. He goes back to his home. Then at night, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is resting in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi had emerged, and as he came out, Allah made it such that Allah blinded all those kuffar who were surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had made his latest siege around the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He recites Surah Yasin. And he throws some dust particles on the hair, on the head of each one of them. And they did not even see Rasulullah passing by them. Until in the morning, when they go in, and they find it Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And then they realize that Rasulullah had emerged from his home, and they were not even aware of it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as they departed Makkah. It is mentioned that he faced Makkah Mukarramah. He addressed Makkah Mukarramah. إِنَّكِ لَأَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَيَّ وَلَأَحَبُّ الْأَرْضِ إِلَيَّ. You are the most beloved of all towns and cities and places to me. Had it not been for the people of Makkah who are driving me out, I would not have left you. It was such a painful occasion for Rasulullah. Born in Makkah, bred in Makkah, lived in Makkah. Now he has to leave that holy lands of Makkah Mukarramah. Leave the Baytullah. And then they proceed. The two of them alone, they are traveling. Remember, the mushrikeen are now going to search for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's going to be a warrant of arrest and a huge reward for the person who captures Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a reward of 100 camels. And they move and they're going. And they come to the cave of Thawr. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, immediately see when a person is making khidmah. And this is for his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He makes Rasul sallam wait outside and he goes himself and he cleans the inside of the cave. Whatever dust was there, whatever stones, he removes all that. And when he neatens the place, then he brings in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were holes in the cave which Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu managed to tear off a little piece of garment and he stuffed those holes. But there were 2 holes that were still remaining open. And then Rasulullah sallallahu puts his Mubarak blessed head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls off asleep. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is so fortunate, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Mubarak head is on his lap. And then he puts his 2 feet, the soles of his feet, and he covers those 2 holes that were open. And after some time, a spider or a scorpion begins to bite the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he bears this with patience. He does not twitch, he does not move at all. He did not want to disturb the sleep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But suddenly, as the pain became excruciating and it caused the tears to now well up in the eyes of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and then it fell down his cheeks and then fell onto the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who then awoken. Abu Bakr, what's the matter? And then he says, this is what happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his lu'abi mubarak, his blessed saliva, and he places it on the area, the portion where Abu Bakr radiallahu was bitten, and he makes dua, and immediately Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is cured. And in this process, while they live in this cave for three days, the mushrikeen are now searching for Rasulullah. They come right till just above the cave. It is mentioned that if any one of those people, the mushrikeen, had to just look at his own feet, below his own feet, la absarana, he will see us. See Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is worried, becomes anxious, gripped with fear. Ya Rasulullah, what is going to happen now? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoles him. La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. And this is a great lesson for all of us. Do not grieve, do not fear. Verily Allah is with us. Ya Aba Bakr, ma dhannuka bithneen, Allah thalithuhuma. What misgivings you have of two people, you and I, when Allah is the third. Allah is our protector. So whatever condition we are going through, whatever pain and difficulty, whether it's physical pain, financial, spiritual, whatever it is, la tahzan, do not grieve, do not become sad, do not lose hope. Inna Allah ma'ana. Verily Allah is with us. The lesson of tawakkul upon Allah. The lesson to have full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while saying this cave, and I'll just mention, you know, when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, when the king and the ruler of his time was also in pursuit of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, ready to go and imprison him. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, it's a very lengthy story, he fled his place, his town, and he started moving until a friend of his gave him some protection and concealed him in his home. So after 3 days, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi now gets ready to leave, and the friend tells him, but why? You'll be arrested, they will attack you, they'll take you to prison. He says, no. The sunnah of my beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to seek 3 days of protection or refuge in the cave, and I too will only keep to this sunnah of 3 days. When you and I talk about sunnah, mashallah, excellent. We look at all the sunnah which is easy for us to apply. And many times it's maybe some sweet dish, etc. But this, look at Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah. He was a great faqih, a great scholar. And his mind is not only on certain sunnah, but even the sunnah of seeking refuge in the cave was only for 3 days. And this is the sunnah of my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what he did. So while they're there in the cave, as Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, she would prepare some food, and she would come secretly and hand over the food to her beloved father and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on one day, she needed something to tie this food and carry it along with her, and she could not find any string or any rope or anything. So she had the belt, a girdle, which every young girl has to tie her skirt around her waist. So she broke this into two, and she tied one piece around this foot, and the other one was around her waist. And she brought this to Rasulullah. When he saw her in this condition, he called her, Ya Ratin Nitaqin, O one of two girdles, two belts. She had this belt, and it was broken into two pieces. I'm going to mention a story to you now. And this was the title given to her on this occasion, that, oh, young girl who has got two belts or two girdles, the straps that she broke, one to tie the food for Rasulullah and her father, and the other around her waist. She had a son by the name of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, very, very great sahabi. Zubair is Abdullah's father, and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala is from the Ashara Mubashara. He is from those who are given the glad tidings of Jannah in one sitting. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, in the time of Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi, he refused to take bay'ah on his hands, and he sought refuge in Makkah Mukarramah. Finally, Hajjaj executes him. He hangs him up on a tree. And he wanted to make a sample of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu to the others, to ridicule him and mock at him. So the man has left this world, but he is hung onto this tree, and people are going past, and they all look at it. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, the great Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, another very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes and he addresses him, Ya Aba Khubayb. He makes salam to him, Abu Khubayb, that was his agnomen. In other words, he's talking to Abdullah bin Zubair, that did I not warn you, did I not caution you, that don't do this, that don't go against Hajjaj, this is what he'll do to you. Nonetheless, Hajjaj hears that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala addressed Abdullah bin Zubair, and finally then he brings his body down, but he buries it into the qubur of the Yahud. This is Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi was a tyrant ruler. He killed many, many ulama of his time. Then he summons the mother of Abdullah, that is Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And he tells somebody, go and call her now. And she refuses. He then threatens her that we will drag you by your forelocks and you're going to come to us. She refuses. She can say, you can do what you want. Finally, Hajjaj bin Yusuf is angry. He puts on his slippers very, very swiftly and he runs and he comes towards her home. And very mockingly he tells her, "Ah, ya dhan nitaqin, ya dhatin nitaqin, oh, one of two girdles," mocking her because she was given the title. And then she explained to him, yes, this was the title given to me by my beloved Rasulullah. And one part of the girdle, the belt, was for a woman who needs to tie her skirt around her waist, and the other was to tie the food that I took for Rasulullah when he was in the cave. Then he says, okay, tell me how I dealt with your son. What are your feelings about it? So he's mockingly, he's very sarcastic, hurting her. But look at the words and her response. She says, "Oh Hajjaj, in killing my son, you destroyed his dunya. You took away his life. But in the process, you destroyed your akhirat. Afsatta alayhi dunya wa afsatta alayka akhiratak. You destroyed my son's dunya. Yes, he's gone from this world. But in the process, oh Hajjaj, you destroyed your akhirat." So this is Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. There was another person by Abdullah bin Ariqat. He was not a Muslim, but he was the guide of Rasulullah and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala in this journey. Imagine, non-Muslim. And Rasulullah trusted him because he was honest. There's a difference of opinion among the scholars. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi is of the opinion that he didn't accept Islam after that. Well, Allama Dhahabi rahmatullah says, no, he did accept Islam. Nonetheless, but he was an honest person and he was the guide on this route of hijrah for Rasulullah. Then Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala is amongst those sahaba who accept Islam in the beginning, and he was persecuted, tortured in Makkah Mukarramah. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala felt sorry for him. He purchased him from his owner and he freed him. So he was the freed slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he would bring milk for them. This Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala, when the battle of, although there was an occasion known as Bi'ru Ma'una, where Rasulullah had sent 70 Qurra and ulama to go and teach the people there, and then they were attacked and they were killed. It is said when Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala was assassinated, when he was made shaheed, his body lifted from the ground. It was raised by the angels to the sky. Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala. And so whilst they are there in the cave, there is this worry, this concern that just now somebody might appear, and then now after 3 days they come out of the cave and they're moving towards Madinah Munawwara, when suddenly a person by the name of Suraqa bin Malik al-Mudliji, he heard from some person while they were sitting in the gathering of the Quraysh, somebody said, "I saw two people moving in that direction." And because there was this reward of 100 camels, he indicated to that person to keep quiet, because he knew now that that is definitely Rasulullah SAW and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So he immediately he goes in pursuit of Rasulullah SAW. And when he is coming towards Rasulullah SAW, from a distance, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala seen him. And Rasul consoled Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that do not worry, Allah is with us. And each time Suraqa bin Malik comes forward, Rasul made a dua, Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'it. Wallah, you suffice us for whatever you wish, Ya Allah, against his mischief and his evil and his plot. And his horse sank into the ground. And immediately he realizes that this is something happening to me. And finally he gives up. And he surrenders before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that moment he does not accept Islam. But he makes a promise to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will safeguard you when any other person is coming this way. I will put him off. And I will say, I've scanned this entire area, there's nobody here, so don't waste your time. And this is exactly what he does. The scholars write that he came as a person who was going to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But not shortly after that, he actually becomes so-called a bodyguard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, prophesizes, look at this time, is hijrah taking place? And he says, oh Suraqa, how will it be one day when you will be made to wear the bangles of Kisra? Kisra is the king of Persia. He sees me, a Bedouin, a poor man, I'd be wearing the bangles of the ruler and the king of Persia. He couldn't understand exactly what Rasulullah prophesied. In the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Kisra's entire kingdom was conquered and all those treasures came and the bangles of Kisra came. Umar radiallahu remembered the words of Rasulullah SAW. He calls Suraqa, Suraqa, wear this. And Umar radiallahu says, Alhamdulillah alladhi, praise be to Allah, the one who took away, snatched away the bangles of Kisra and gave it to this Suraqa bin Malik al-Mudriji, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallam and then proceed. Now, the story is so long and I urge all of you to read the seerah of Rasulullah sallam. They are beautiful lessons. And you see how it applies to many of us, or all of us, in different occasions of our lives. These are not just stories that we just read about, but we should take some lessons from these incidents. Rasulullah SAW now goes and they reach Quba. In Quba, they remain there for 14 days, so almost 2 weeks or 2 weeks they remain there. And it is in Quba where Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, he says that Rasulullah SAW should have a place to rest and a place to perform his salah. So why don't we build a masjid? So comes Kulthum bin Al-Hadam radiallahu ta'ala, he gives his property for this masjid to be built. And this was the first masjid built in Islam. Masjidu Quba. Who was the person who gave this proposal? It was Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala. And to just refresh in your memories, his mother we spoke about last week, Sumiyya radiallahu ta'ala, who was persecuted in a very terrible manner, in which her legs were tied, each leg, one right leg to the around the horse neck of the one horse, and the other leg to the neck of the other horse, and both horses were made to run in opposite directions, tearing her apart. Her husband is Yasir, also persecuted by the Quraysh. So this family, Ammar, his father, his mother, all of them were persecuted by the Quraysh in Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see them in pain and suffering, and he would tell them, sabran ya Ali, ya Ala Yasir, sabran ya Ala Yasir, O family of Yasir, make sabr, make sabr. He used to console them. So Ammar, the mushrikeen had caught hold of him, they began punishing him, they tie him up, and then they force him to renounce Islam. So he utters the words of kufr, but his heart was filled with iman. And Allah refers to this because later on people felt that he became a non-Muslim and they started talking about it. He comes crying to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, I swear by Allah that when I uttered these words, it was because I wanted to save my life. They were persecuting me, torturing me, I could not take it. And they told me to reject you. But at that time my heart was still filled with iman. Allah sent down the verse. Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman." Allah mentions about Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala that those people who became renegades at the end of the ayat, walakin man sharaha bil kufri sadran fa alim ghadabun min Allah wa lahum adhabun azim, those who became murtad, for them is a severe punishment. But in between Allah says illa man ukriha, besides that person who was compelled to utter the words of kufr, but his heart was mutma'innun bil iman, his heart was filled with iman, his heart was satisfied with iman. And Rasulullah ﷺ declared that Ammar muli'a imanan, from his head to his feet, he's immersed in iman, he's a pakka believer. This is Ammar radiallahu ta'ala. Now imagine Ammar bin Yasir building the first masjid. And of course the Sahaba assisted him there in building Masjid Quba. First masjid, la masjidun ustisa ala taqwa. The foundation of this masjid was built on taqwa. And this should be our niyat when we're building masajid. That the foundation must be on taqwa to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for any show. It should be to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjid should be a place of taqwa. And the people of Quba, they had this quality of rijalun yuhibbuna ay yatatahharu. They were very concerned about purification. It was the people of Quba who used water for istinja. We heard after Isha, some masail. They were the people who used water for istinja. And Rasulullah told Sahaba then to use water because Allah loves those who are absolutely pure. They were physically pure and spiritually pure. Rasulullah ﷺ would make, after he went to Madinah Munawwara, then he would visit Quba, some riwayats say on a Saturday, and of course there are riwayats of other days like Monday also, but mainly Saturday, mashiyan or rakiban, either he would walk or he would go on a conveyance, and he would perform 2 rakat salat in Masjid Quba. Over his 2 rakat salat in Masjid Quba, he gets the sawab of an umrah. The reward of an umrah. And that is why when we go to Masjid Quba, may Allah grant all of us the ziyarat of Haramain Sharifain in these Mubarak places. But look at Kulsum bin Hadam. He gave his place for the first masjid. And how many people flocked to Masjid Quba? When you go, there are buses there and people reading salah and making ibadah. Look at the sawab he must be getting. Look at the sawab of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala and the other sahaba. Put our monies in good causes. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the establishment of deen. And then we will see our ajr. Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan. Whoever initiates something good, he starts a good deed, which is of course sanctioned by Sharia. And he does something good and others then follow. Then this person who started the good deed, he gets the sawab of all the people who then followed him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after spending 2 weeks here, then they move in the afternoon and they reach just outside Quba in the locality of Banu Salim. This Quba was a locality of Banu Amr, and now they come to Banu Salim. This was a tribe, and they came to their locality and they performed the first Jumu'ah Salah. First Jumu'ah Salah was performed there. There's a Sahabi by the name of Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and his son would say that my father would often at the time of Jumu'ah Adhan, he would make dua for Amr bin Awf, and I should ask him that why are you making dua for him? He says that he was the first person, although he was the one who established the first Jumu'ah Salah, and Rasulullah had performed the Jumu'ah Salah. So such a great thing he did, so I'm making dua for him. And then finally, of course, the Rasulullah comes to Al-Madinah Munawwara. The story is very, very long, beautiful, very inspiring. And how the Sahaba would come every day, the Ansar, waiting for the arrival.
And he would stand and stand and stand the whole day till when it became very hot, then he would return home. And it's one day when they are around there, and the Jew spots Rasulullah and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he could not help it. But to say, ah, there's your Nabi coming. And they all come out, the young children, they all singing praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba go out, Ansar go out. This is the first time most of them are going to see, or this is the first time they're going to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallam is coming on the camel, and each Sahabi, each Ansar, he's begging Rasul to reside by his place. This is the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu. The love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu. Until Rasul tells him, no, leave this camel, da'uha, fa'inna ma'mura. Leave it, it's been commanded by Allah. Wherever this camel will stop, then that is the place whose home is next to or nearby, I will stay there. The camel stops at a place, stands up, moves front, comes back again, and stops at the same place. And this was outside the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Can you imagine how elated he and his wife were? They were gone ecstatic that Rasulullah is going to stay with us. There was a plot on the other side belonging to two yatim children, Salih and Suhail. Now they need to build the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Islam, look at justice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these are yatim. We cannot take it for free. We cannot usurp their land. We will pay them the price of this land. The guardian was called and the price is given. Money is given and this land is purchased. And this is the place where then Al-Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was built. And Rasul himself assisted in building the Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stays in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala had a double story house. Nabi sallallahu is downstairs and Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife are upstairs. It is mentioned the entire night husband and wife could not sleep. They felt, how can we be above Rasulullah? Look at the disrespect. So the entire night they are parishan. Finally they move towards the edge of that particular section. So they were not directly above Rasulullah. But they are fearful. They're not feeling comfortable and relaxed. And in the process they had a small jug of water and it fell. So remember, they have wooden beams and now it's going to seep through. So they quickly took the sheet they had that they were covering themselves and they quickly dammed the water lest the water falls down and Rasulullah disturbs his sleep. In the morning, Abu Ayyub Ansari comes, Ya Rasul, it's difficult for us to stay. How can we be above you? Rasulullah tells him, no, do not worry. He said, please, Ya Rasul, you go on top, let us stay down. And Rasul then agrees, he goes on top, and Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife stay downstairs. But they would prepare food for Rasulullah. Nabi Sam stayed there approximately 6 months. And when the food would go to the Nabi Kareem, and sometimes he would leave some morsels for them, and when the food would come back, they would look for the traces of the finger of where Rasulullah's Mubarak hand went on the plate, and they will also follow the same traces of the food or the fingers of Rasulullah on that plate. This was the real love they had for Rasulullah. There's so much more to discuss about the hijrah and different stories. May Allah give us the true love of Rasulullah, the love for Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah, the Masjid of Quba and all these Mubarak places. May Allah take us there. May Allah make us residents of Madinah, Munawwarah. Allah give us a life with afiyat and give us maut in Madinah Sharif and Baril Jannatul Baqi, and we can gain the shafa'at of Rasulullah. These Sahaba gave their lives for Rasulullah. And therefore I urge you to read the seerah of Rasulullah. Read about the companions of Rasulullah. There are so many others in between. It's difficult because of time. We cannot explain so many other details of the history and about each Sahabi. But may Allah Ta'ala inspire us to follow the footsteps and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. So this was the hijrah. It's mentioned, it started in Muharram and Rasul came into Madinah Munawwara in Rabi'ul Awwal. So Rasul actually entered Madinah Munawwara in Rabi'ul Awwal, and the day he entered Madinah Munawwara, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says the entire Madinah literally lit up. It became full of noor. It became illuminated. And the day the Master passed on, He said we could see the entire Medina went in darkness.
وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. He said Durood Sharif.